Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast brought to you by the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and I'm delighted to be joined by two brilliant contributors. Vittorio Campanile, welcome back, mate. As always, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What about yourself? Happy about this Arsenal, huh?
Yeah, very much enjoying Arsenal's turnaround in form, for sure. Tommy is back. Tommy Milanese, welcome back to the programme, mate. How are you? It's been a while.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be back. I was actually, I missed the first episodes where you were miserable for the Arsenal, but yeah, now things are different.
Yeah, very, very different, and long may it continue. We've got plenty to get into today. Great weekend of Serie A action again, and we're going to be talking through some of those big fixtures. But before we do that, I just wanted to get some reaction from the pair of you on the news that Antonio Conte is very close to joining Tottenham Hotspur. We're expecting an announcement imminently. Let me come to you first, Vittorio, on this, because taking my Arsenal hat off, forget the Arsenal and Tottenham thing. Looking at this from the outside, I am really struggling to understand what has changed for Antonio Conte between the summer and now. Why do you think he's decided that Tottenham is now the right place for him? And was you surprised to learn that the talks are at this stage?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised, even because the week before, it looks like he was very, very, very close to Manchester United, right? So if Man United would have lost against Tottenham, probably he would be now in Manchester instead. And Manchester would have made much more sense for Antonio Conte than Tottenham. No offense to Spurs fan, but I don't know. Probably Paratici promised him something, said, you know, get here, and then in January we're going to sign 4 or 5 key players, very important players, to give you the team. On the other side, maybe he was just bored to be out. Maybe he simply said, I cannot stand it. I want to go back and coach a team. I think this summer he was hoping for a bigger team to come up and sign him, which didn't happen. And, you know, Manchester United could be an option, but who knows if things from now on will change and Solskjaer will keep the job. So maybe he thought, this is my only chance I have.
Tommy, what about you? Because you know exactly how close Tottenham came to landing Antonio Conte in the summer. Was you surprised to see this kind of, or this relationship again, kind of reignite in terms of the talks and the conversation? Is it the Paratici factor, as Vittorio points out as well?
Yeah, it's got to be. I think it was very close in the summer, yeah. And I think you like the project, you like the challenge of it. As you well know, Conte always likes to get teams that are big teams with good potential, you know, good financial and all that. But get them in a season where they're struggling with Juventus, Chelsea and Inter and all that. And all of that, he succeeded. So I think you really like the challenge and the aspect of it, you know, back in London, back in the Premier League. So I wasn't surprised when it was close to us in the summer. But yes, I was surprised like you that after he said, if they said no and did right at the end, then now he's back on. I think maybe one factor to consider that he might have been impressed with Paratici's work on keeping Kane. That's a huge one. Obviously, when there was talks with Conte to Spurs, there was still a huge question mark about Harry Kane, and maybe he didn't think they would be able to keep him. Obviously, we don't know what happened behind the scenes. We'll never know, but I think he was probably impressed with that. And the transfer market as well hasn't been, of course, one of those where you spend hundreds of millions, but it's been pretty good. And I think Spurs bought some players that will work well with Antonio Conte's formation. I'm thinking, for example, Emerson Royal. He was rumored to be one of the players to replace Hakimi when he left to PSG. And I think, yeah, now we have a pretty good squad. Sorry, say we, because obviously Spurs is the team I support in the Premier League. And yeah, as you know, I've been with them for a while. But I think we have a good squad, and Antonio Conte will do well. In the summer, again, he was close. Maybe he wasn't quite sure we wouldn't be able to keep Kane and to sign some good players. Now we've seen that. And probably, like Antonio said, you'll probably also miss being on the bench. So all these factors together made him realise that that's the right choice for him. Whether it will work or not, I think it'll be probably the toughest challenge of all the ones he got, because obviously Juventus was in a bit of a tough place, but it was on the high. The trajectory was on the high. Inter in a similar way with the signings they made in the position they were. Chelsea also struggled so much the season before, but I don't think anyone expected them to do as bad in the next season with him. So all the challenges he faced were hard, but I think this might be the hardest one for him yet.
Yeah, I think it will be the hardest one for him. And I was having a conversation on the Chronicles of Aguna podcast last night with a good friend of mine who's a Spurs fan. And one of the things I was saying, and not to make this into a Tottenham podcast, we'll move on in just a second, but one of the things I kept saying was, I get that if the opportunity comes to sign a manager of Antonio Conte's quality, you have to do it, right? You can't miss that opportunity.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt that he's an upgrade on Nuno Espirito Santo. My only thing is that I think Tottenham need a rebuild. And sometimes you have to really strip it back and start from the beginning. And to make a comparison, if you look at what Arsenal are doing, and I know it hasn't worked yet, right? We're not going to know until 3-4 years down the line whether this new rebuild with young players is the right way to go. But I think Tottenham, in hiring Antonio Conte now, are kind of skipping that phase. Skipping that stage of stripping it all back and hoping that Antonio Conte's quality will get them up to the level that they need to be. But sometimes that's not enough alone. And that's why I'm not saying he's going to be a flop, but I've got reservations over whether this project is going to work. You spoke about Inter, Juve. When he went into those clubs, they were in much better shape in terms of personnel than Tottenham are now. And Harry Kane has stayed, but Harry Kane has not been Harry Kane this season. He couldn't look more disinterested. So I think
that's true.
It's going to be a big task for him, really big task.
I know what you mean. It's a bit, what you're trying to say is like, it's another Mourinho signing, like win now rather than kind of rebuild. And I get that. But I think it's a bit different this time. Even when he went to Juventus, he did win almost straight away because the level of the Serie A by then was probably the lowest it's been in the last 30 years. But even then, it took him a few years to kind of reach the top of his game, you know, and actually being a team that can compete in Europe, and, you know, as good as they were. So Antonio Conte might not be the right manager for the slow rebuild, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that if he doesn't win this, obviously, well, not this season, but if he doesn't win straight away, he will lose again, and, you know, and Spurs will be in the same position as now. I think he could be capable of that, and also to get the best out of a Harry Kane. He's another manager like Mourinho was, that knows how to get the best out of the strikers. He made some strikers perform incredibly well. Like I'm thinking Llorente, Juventus, Diego Costa. But obviously, Lukaku is a world-class striker, but I think he'll do well with Kane. I think he'll do well with the players he has. Again, he might not win anything straight away, and then maybe that's fine with him. He's reached an age now. Conte is not really a young manager anymore, and I think he might be happy to stay there a few years and maybe, create a little bit of a journey.
Vittorio, just finally on this, in this Conte to Tottenham thing, the rumour is that it's an 18-month contract.
Yeah.
Now, does that say to you that Antonio Conte himself has reservations around whether this is going to work? Because normally, managers go for the long contract to protect themselves in the event that they get sacked, right? The longer your contract, the bigger the payout. So why would someone like Conte, and we're assuming that it's him that's asked for the 18 months, because if you're Tottenham, you want to tie him down for as long as possible. Why do you think that tells us that he's got reservations about whether this is the right job or not?
Yeah, maybe it's a temporary solution. I didn't find nothing at the moment, but maybe in 18 months, Barcelona will be back and they will look for a good manager, Man United maybe, etc. So maybe it's his way to be free and ready. At the same time, I don't like the comparison Tommy's making Mourinho-Conte. Mourinho, it's a manager, and we are going to talk, I think, later about that, who is going down and failed for me at Tottenham, while Conte is probably maybe one of the top five managers at the moment in Europe. I don't know if you agree with me, but
I'd say
one of the best, definitely. While Mourinho went to Tottenham after failing at Chelsea, Man United, and so on. So, yes, both very charismatic, but Conte is probably the best manager Tottenham had in the last 20 years or so.
Well, yeah, I agree. I didn't want to compare them. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt. But the only comparison I made is like that kind of manager you get when you want to win straight away rather than doing a slow rebuild. So that's the only thing I said. But yeah, I agree with that completely different managers.
I mean, they're both managers that prefer senior players with experience more than rely on youngster, right? Both of them has this issue. Maybe Conte even more than Mourinho. But I think with Conte, you can improve your team. You can have players playing better, right? Check Lukaku with Chelsea. With Conte, he was a goal machine, and now with Chelsea, he's struggling. So I think that this will be an upgrade, but I think that he's there because he was missing the pitch. And as soon as another big team will be available, maybe he'll leave if he thinks things are not turning how he wanted to.
I think the rumors are saying that that probably is another option for another extra year as well. And another reason might be, I agree with Tori, but another reason might be that maybe he's not 100% sure about the financial backing that he's been promised, because I assume he's been promised something. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't accept. And maybe he wants to, have a sure solution, to see if that's actually true. I'm sure he has some names on the table. I'm thinking Brozovic, Vlahovic, De Vrij. These are the rumored ones, and they will all fit perfectly with his
Muric.
Which is well, I don't know. Yeah, they will fit perfectly with his style of play. So I think he wants to maybe also weigh and see, am I actually going to get these players? Let's see. Because obviously, we're not famous for, Spurs is not famous for buying big in the transfer market.
You're thinking De Vrij, Brozovic, Vlahovic. I'm thinking Victor Moses, Ashley Young. a little bit more Antonio Conte to me. Color of. Good stuff. Let's move on. Let's talk about this weekend's Serie A action then. And let's begin with the 2-2 draw between Atalanta and Lazio. Vittorio, your side, Lazio, had the lead twice in this one, but ended up leaving Bergamo with just a point. Tell us how it went. Was you disappointed that Lazio didn't leave with more?
Well, it's a little bit difficult because obviously disappointed because Lazio was ahead and Atalanta find the goal in really the last second of the match. But on the other side, impressed because if you take off the first 25 minutes where Atalanta dominated the match, then Lazio went in control of the match. And against Atalanta, it's not very easy, especially this Lazio that is rebuilding with Maurizio Sarri. So I was really impressed about the performance. In the second half, Lazio had a couple of chances to close the match. They failed to do it. and Atalanta find a way to equalize. But really impressed by the performance. I think finally Lazio's finding is learning what Sarri wants, and you know, putting this pressure, creating all these chances against Atalanta, it's very promising. On the other side, two silly mistakes, I would say, allowed Atalanta to score twice. So this is where Lazio have to work, but definitely impressed, because in the past couple of years, Lazio always struggled mighty against Atalanta. And finally, this way, this time, Lazio, I think, played much better than Atalanta. So positive on the play, but yes, getting out only 1 point is not what I was hoping for.
Yeah, when you take the lead twice and like you say, concede in the 94th minute, it is frustrating. Tommy, you're not a Lazio man. So looking from the outside he's shaking his head there. You're not a Lazio man. So looking at Lazio from the outside under Maurizio Sarri, what have you made of them? And are you of the kind of opinion, like many are, that it's going to take time because the styles between Sarri and Inzaghi are just so different?
Yeah, Lazio is a difficult team to read, in my opinion. I remember the first episode we've done of this season of Simp Serie A, we all agreed that of all the new managers in the top seven, Sarri was going to be the one that was going to take the longest to adapt. I feel like they underperformed in this first half of the season. And this performance with Atalanta and the game before as well, there were definitely signs of improvement. And great improvement, but Lazio is a weird team because they seem to perform well with the big teams. Obviously beat Roma, almost beat Atalanta. They play very well with Inter, Milan, but then they still struggle with smaller teams than maybe like Bologna, Verona, that they press high. And Sarri has always had big issues with teams that press high, and so. It's definitely an improvement, what we've seen, the performances and the results, but he still needs to prove it to win the games that he needs to win. I think this season in Serie A, the level is slightly lower than it was because teams like both Atalanta and Lazio are not quite as strong as they were last season. They're not quite the threat that they were. And so that means that the battle for the top four is wide open. And if Lazio wants to be that team to get that last place for the Champions League, then he needs to win these games that he must win, again, like Bologna, Verona, Sassuolo, Udinese. And yeah, he hasn't really done it so far. He showed he struggled a little bit, like I said, with teams that press high. So there's still a lot of work to be done, but I think the last couple of games have definitely been an improvement.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Moving on to Verona versus Juventus. You mentioned Verona there. They obviously defeated Juventus this weekend by 2-1. Giovanni Simeone with 2 goals inside the first 15 minutes. Weston McKennie pulled one back with 10 minutes to go for Juve, but they were unable to find an equaliser. Vittorio, we talked a couple of weeks ago about how Juve were, you know, they went through a phase, they started winning 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, and we thought maybe it's finally starting to click into gear, but it's not been the case at all, has it, for Max Allegri's side. Is it looking like a mistake now, or is it too early to say? Because there was this huge hype around Allegri's return, and people were, in some quarters, describing Juve as the title favourites, despite how far off the pace they were last season, because of the Allegri factor. Do you think they've made a mistake in bringing him back, or is it too early to say?
Well, probably they made a mistake. One thing is, Allegri's football is getting a little bit too old. Now you see even in Serie A, a lot of teams, even the small one, are fighting to score one goal more than the other instead of allowing one less. And so Allegri is struggling. Plus, and we said it often, this Juventus midfield is simply terrible, awful. Lack of talent is everywhere in this team. Allegri is not a magician. He needs quality players, and I don't think Juventus have them. So I don't know. I mean, I never love comebacks like Allegri coming back to Juventus. So I don't know if that was a huge mistake. It's all Allegri's fault. I think the players have huge responsibility. I don't know. I think this Juventus will struggle to get to the Champions League this season if nothing happened this January. If they don't sign quality players this January, they really struggle. And you can see Juventus won 4 matches in a row, but never convinced me. They always struggle. Yeah. They always being very lucky to find the way to win these matches. And when things doesn't, if they are not lucky, they lose. Morata is not scoring. Dybala is often injured. McKennie is not convincing me a lot. You know, I don't see a player that say, okay, this is the Juventus type of player. They still have Chiellini and Bonucci that are the one that making the difference. But apart from them, they are a very old team. And I don't know, if you see Inter and the other teams, they have more depth, they have more quality.
Tommy, what's your take on Juventus under Allegri part two so far?
I think Juventus is a team that has a lot of issues that are much bigger than the lack of talented players. Because, yeah, obviously their squad is not as brilliant as it used to be in terms of individuals, but it definitely has the potential to do much, much better than they're doing. I think it's a lot to do with the mental side of football. If you see the first goal from Verona, there's one replay of it that it's literally you don't see in the normal replay. But there's one angle that really shows the state of this team right now. They're defending obviously deep as they always do. They get the ball back. It goes to Kulusevski, who's trying to send it high to Morata. The whole defense and the field are on the same line. So 7-8 people, they are literally walking. And the ball obviously bounces off someone and then goes to Barak and then, you know, Simeone and the goal. The Juventus defender is literally walking as if no one is trying to, you know, get the ball or, you know, get in position or move a little bit. They're just happy for Kulusevski to just smash it high to Morata and they're literally doing nothing. I'll send you the link. It's really funny. So I think there's a lot of problems at that team that is more than individuals. They got to do something to change. 1-0 is not enough. In Serie A, I've already said that there's more teams are getting more modern than Allegri. There are teams that press high. There are teams like Udinese that wait for you a bit deeper. You have to be able to win against everyone. You can't just score one goal and defend. You can't score one goal and substitute your probably the best Italian player at the moment, which is Chiesa, which is a very attacking player, for Rabiot or Bentancur, which is a much more defensive player. There's a lot to change there, but it will take some time. It's probably the time for Juventus where their cycle of winning is over and they need to start another one. And as we say, for a lot of teams, we were talking about Spurs earlier, I don't know, obviously they haven't been, you know, winning nearly as much as Juventus, but when we're talking about a cycle ending, it's always hard to start another one. And players like Chiellini and Bonucci from the old cycle, they're still there and they're not quite doing enough to restart. It would take some time for Juventus. I don't think it was a mistake for Allegri to be rehired. He can be the manager that will be there for years and not necessarily need, you know, very expensive players, because Juventus is also in the financial issues a bit like Barcelona, not as bad, but they are facing some issues as well, so they're not going to go out and buy incredible players. So yeah, that's not the way they're going to fix the problems, by just buying very expensive and talented players.
Yeah, but I don't think Allegri is the right manager to do it, right? Football is evolving and he's, you know, didn't evolve with the football, and he has a huge contract. You mentioned the financial situation. I don't think they can sack Allegri now because of his contract. And at the same time, they try to change. They sign Rabiot, they sign McKennie. They try to sign youngster, but not all of them are good. I think Chiesa is probably the best player they have now with Dybala, but Bernardeschi is not good. A lot of other players they sign. Rugani, you remember? We forgot to mention Rugani. He came from Empoli and people were saying, this is the new central defender for Italy for the next 10 years. He's hardly playing. They give up on Buffon, and Szczesny and Perin are playing badly. So they try to change things, but they have been terrible. Terrible signing, spent a lot of money, wasted a lot of money, I would say. And now they're stuck with Allegri because, again, they cannot fire Allegri. And this week, there were newspapers saying, wow, maybe we have to reevaluate Pirlo, because we will say that we all blame Pirlo. Maybe, you know, he wasn't all that bad, because look what Allegri is doing. I think Pirlo wasn't ready for Juventus, but, you know, Allegri is nearly doing worse than Pirlo. So, you know, you think, well, maybe it wasn't all Pirlo's fault.
Yeah, Allegri's 100% not going to get sacked, like you said, because he can't afford it. But in my opinion, it wouldn't be the right choice, even if they could afford it.
No.
Unless, of course, they could get, you know, someone like Conte again. But
I think Espirito Santo is available.
Well, he is available, yeah. I do think Allegri, we realize that the way he's playing is wrong, being too defensive, try to win 1-0, we realize it. So I'm sure he realizes it too. And I think he's the kind of manager that he's able to evolve. He evolved a little bit from when it was in Milan to Juventus. He changed things. I think he's not one of those managers just stay with his ideas, and he'd rather lose every single game and get sacked but keep his ideas. I think he's a manager that is willing to adapt and evolve, and I think he will, because it's something clearly is not working. And I do think there are high contenders to get that top four, the fourth spot. They're only 4 points away. I think they will be able to do it, and that would be a good result. Obviously, Juventus fans are used to win every single season, so they might not be seen as a great result, but for the situation they are now, they are in a transition moment. Still get the top four, still get the money for the Champions League and exposure and, you know, partners deals, all of that. It's still a good result, and I think he's still the right man to do that at the moment.
I don't know if they can get in the first four position, and the thing is, we were considering Ronaldo last year saying, well, he's not the same Ronaldo. I think, you know, seeing how Juventus was playing last year and how they're playing this year, I think Ronaldo was the reason why Juventus got in the Champions League. And without him, we can see all the problem this team had, and this problem that Ronaldo, thanks to his quality, was hiding, and people couldn't see it. So even losing Ronaldo like they did this summer, that was a huge problem for Juventus. And again, Keane wasn't the answer, wasn't the solution to Ronaldo. And again, this for me is you could have go and get Icardi. I know it was very difficult, but a club like Juventus should have signed Icardi instead of Keane. And they paid a lot of money for Keane, and I don't think he's the solution.
I mean, just before we move on from this game, I think it would be wrong not to mention Giovanni Simeone, because of course he got a couple of goals in this one. He's got 8 goals in Serie A this season in just 10 appearances, 3 assists as well. 26 years old, so he's not, a youngster, if you like. But he is a player that's starting to catch the eye a little bit. Tommy, what's your take on him?
I think Simeone's current form is really shows how, for a striker, for all positions really, but for a striker more than other position, the mental side is completely the most important thing for a striker. And again, for every position is that way, but as a striker you really need to be there with your head. He's always been the player that showed signs of being a good striker, firstly at Genoa, then he did a big step to Fiorentina, didn't perform very well, go to Cagliari, so and so. Now Verona, yeah, he scored 6 goals in the last, I don't know, what is it, 80 minutes of playing, but it doesn't mean it's going to continue that way and become the top scorer. He's always been a good striker for a middle team, Serie A team, but inconsistency has always been his biggest flaw. Like I said, the Genoa was very good, and the Fiorentina not so much. Then yes, again, it's always been very inconsistent. Now he's benefiting from the fact that Verona is doing something incredible. Like, this is something I always wanted to say about this game. Tudor is doing an incredible job. He got Verona, that were bottom last, because Di Francesco I don't think he won a single game.
Nope.
And he got this team that was in an awful position after Juric, that was a great manager, was there for a few years and did something incredible for the team they are. Then a new manager, and he does terribly, and he has to pick them up. It's such a difficult job, and he only lost one game, Tudor, which is against AC Milan away, which is a game that also they were winning 2-1, and they ended up losing for a very unlucky own goal. So it could have well been another draw there. That's the only game he lost. Tudor is doing an incredible job with the players he has. So the whole team is playing better. I'm thinking Caprari is another player that has always shown to be very good technically, but very, very inconsistent. And again, yeah, he's performing incredibly well. He's fitting the role of Zaccagni, playing a bit different, of course, but he's doing that role almost as good as him at the moment. Of course, the season is still long, but at the moment, is being just as good as him. Barak is, you know, had a great season last season. He's keeping the same level. So yeah, he's getting the best out of the players, and I think Simeone is really benefiting from everything that's happening around him within the team.
Yeah, certainly look a much better unit. Completely agreed. Moving on to some of Sunday's games. Let's start with Inter versus Udinese. Inter, it took them until the hour mark to break down Udinese. I wasn't sure if Inter were going to get over the line in this one when I was watching it. I got to be honest, that it just had that feeling to it. But that's what good sides do, don't they, Vittorio? They keep going, they keep plugging away. And a former Lazio man, Joaquin Correa, popped up with two goals in the space of 8 minutes to ensure that Inter took all 3 points. They're quietly going about their business, Inter, aren't they? They would still look at the table despite the gap between themselves, Napoli and Milan, and feel as though if they put a run together, they can, you know, they're still in with a shout for the Scudetto.
Yes, definitely they are. Definitely they are. I think they have the best team, but obviously they lost points so far, so Milan and Napoli are unstoppable at the moment. So it's going to be interesting because the derby is coming up. So that could be a turning point of the season. But Correa is this one. He pretty much didn't touch a ball, didn't do nothing in the first half, and then decided the match in the second half. Incredible, talented player, but sometimes he's simply not interesting in playing. So this is what happened with Correa. And I saw him playing for Lazio for in the last 3 years, and I know what type of player he is. He can win matches and disappear for 60 minutes. So, again, Inter has a big quality, a lot of talent. Udinese, it's a tough team. Udinese can be quite complicated to beat. So, you know, finding a way to win like that is really, really important. It's really, really good for the team, give you confidence. And Inter has a tough match in the Champions League, and winning like this, it's really important for Inzaghi and for the rest of the team. And it's important for Correa because he started the season very well, scoring immediately. Then he had a moment where he got back to his issue, right? Disappearing, not playing very focused. And then these two goals are very important for him and for the team. So I think Inter will be fighting for the Scudetto till the end.
Yeah, I think so too. Tommy, do you share that view that although there is a 7-point gap between themselves and the top two at the minute, that over the course of this season, their quality will probably show through and they will be there or thereabouts?
Yeah, absolutely. Inzaghi needs a little time to adapt his 3-5-2 compared to the 3-5-2 that we're playing with Conte. It took a little bit of time, but they've definitely shown some great football lately. And they have very good news. The fact that Correa can be decisive in a very difficult game, because Udinese is one of the teams that defends the deepest and they're very good defensively in general. So, yeah, the fact that Correa can single-handedly really resolve a game like that is very important. And even players like Sanchez, who is, you know, no one really think of him as a threat, but the game before that against Empoli, he is the one probably played the best and great assist. That means Dzeko was a quite big question mark, but he's outperforming, in my opinion, scoring a lot of goals and being very beneficial for the team. Lautaro is for me is one of the best strikers in Europe at the moment. So they have a lot of attacking options, and they're all working at the moment. They're all performing well, and they're all playing well with different couples. Like Lautaro and Dzeko will be the starting one, but also Lautaro and Sanchez, or Dzeko and Correa. Inzaghi tried a lot of different ones and most of them look like they're working, so that's definitely good news. The derby next week will definitely be a turning point for the season. If they will lose that, it will definitely impact the moral for the rest of this first half of the season. But equally, if they win, there will definitely be there will only be a few points behind Milan, and they'll be flying.
They lost points against Juventus and Lazio, which, you know, was a big surprise. Seeing Juventus playing like that, you know, you couldn't expect this performance. Against Lazio, I thought Inter played well in the first half, but then struggled. So I don't know what's going on. I think they have plenty of depth, even in defense, midfield, etc. But they have to show it in big matches, which didn't happen this season yet.
Well, with Juventus, I think they deserve to win. And I mean, I don't want to get into referee talks. I really hate talking about it, but I mean, yeah, that penalty was very generous, and I think they should have probably ended with a 2-0.
But just before that, in the second half.
Yeah, that's true. But it will still take a little time. But against Milan will be a huge test to see that if they're mature enough or not.
Yeah, it's a huge game because, as we mentioned, 7 points is the difference between Inter and Milan at the moment. They could close that gap to potentially 4 points, or it could extend to 13. So it's a big game for Inter, bigger game for Inter than it is for Milan, that's for sure, going into that one at the weekend. So very much looking forward to that one. And of course, we'll be unpacking it on the following Tuesday. Napoli continued their run. And I've got to say, again, I got that feeling that they might not pick up all 3 points at various
absolutely
points in this game.
Tell I was me, sure they were not. I sure was going to be a draw. After watching the first 25-30 minutes, this is going to be a 0-0. But yeah, they managed to go through it, and that's what winning teams do. You know, the teams that win the league, they go through these games when they struggle. Another one I'm thinking of, it was a few weeks ago against Torino away. It's another very, very difficult team to play. Juric is one of my favorite managers in the league. It's so tough to play against them. And again, they were struggling. They had a lot of chances, even more than the Salernitana. I think they hit the post once, all of that. And then in the end, again, they managed to find the goal and to get the 3 points out of that. It's a huge sign that they are really ready to fight for the league. If you perform well with big teams and you manage to win this team against these teams that you struggle, that are very hard to play against and that you're struggling for whatever reason, it really means you're a winning team. But the most impressive thing for me about Napoli is they conceded 3 goals in 11 games.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing. Like 3 goals in 11 games is like one of the best defenses I remember in the recent history. The whole back four is performing incredibly. Like Koulibaly is back to his best, absolutely. A player like Rahmani, who knew was going to become what he is now. Di Lorenzo, Mario Rui, I didn't think much of him. Incredible, honestly. The work Spalletti has been doing is mind-blowing to me.
Yes, but they have to prove it against big team. I mean, they struggle against Roma. I didn't expect that. They struggle against Juventus. They won because Juventus made 2 mistakes. So I was expecting Napoli to dominate this match before it started because Salernitana, it's not a good team. They have been struggling a lot. So I was surprised to see Napoli struggling that much. But they had a good fixture, I would say, because of the top team, if I'm not wrong, they only played against Juventus and Roma, and they beat Juventus, which is the weakest team of the top 7, I think, at the moment, and they draw against Roma. So they have to prove it against big team, but you know, I think this Napoli team, like last year, had everything to win it. Last year, I didn't think they had the right manager. This year with Spalletti is completely different, but now they have to prove it against big team, because I thought Roma-Napoli was a test, and for me, they didn't pass it. So I'm looking forward for the coming matches against big team, because there's where we're going to see if the team is ready to win the Scudetto. And let's not forget, they have the African Cup coming on in January, and they will lose a lot of key players. So let's see how they cope with that this winter.
Yeah, looking at their fixtures, looking ahead to the rest of November, they play Inter away on Sunday, the 21st of November. They then face Lazio at home on the 28th. Then they're away to Sassuolo. Then they're at home to Atalanta. So there are some difficult fixtures to come. After that Atalanta fixture, they play Empoli, and then they go away to Milan. So I think we're going to get a little bit more of an understanding as to how strong this Napoli side are over the next couple of months. So it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. So Napoli continued their winning run, as we said. And let's look at the final game of the week. Well, not of the weekend, of the Sunday, between Roma and Milan. Milan raced into a 2-goal lead, and it looked as though it was all going to be light work. It looked as though they were going to get over the line pretty comfortably. Roma pulled the goal back and made it a nervy finish. But Vittorio, Zlatan Ibrahimovic again shows what a difference maker he can be, even at the age of 40. I think it was his 400th league domestic goal, domestic league goal, I should say. Incredible player, incredible man, and he just keeps going.
Yes, incredible. This was a huge test for me, for both team, Roma and Milan, because Milan kept winning, but they have been a little bit lucky. Tommy was mentioned, they beat Verona, and again, they were 2-0 down and they found a way to win with an own goal, etc. So they have been a little bit lucky. So this was an important test. And I thought they passed it very well. They had so many players missing and still, they dominated the match till they were 11 match on the pitch. So Ibrahimovic was impressive, but I still think that the goal Ibra scored was a mistake from Rui Patricio. You cannot move that fast, that early on a free kick, and Ibra punished him. But Milan dominated. I thought they could have scored more. And again, another Roma in the last 2 years, I think they beat only one big team so far. So this is another problem Roma is facing. But again, every time we say, I don't know how much this Milan will keep going, and they keep going, they find a way to win. And they deserve it this time against Roma. So really, really impressed by this team.
Tommy, I was impressed by Milan, obviously, but I was also frustrated by Roma. Is that fair to say that Roma, especially in that first half, were very, I guess they gave up a lot of territory. The midfield seemed non-existent at times, and Milan were constantly picking up the ball and cutting through them, driving players like Rafael Leao, who, when he picks up the ball and runs at someone, just seems to create chaos every single time, just to name one of the players, you know. But I felt like Roma made it easy for Milan. That's not to take anything away from them, but Roma were disappointed, in my opinion. Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Roma, against, as we were saying before, for these big teams, so top seven teams, the biggest tests are playing against the big teams, of course. And Roma has showed that they're not quite there yet. And they're probably not, at least in my opinion, one of the favorites to catch that fourth spot for the Champions League. I think they are struggling a little bit, especially to create chances and to create goals. The players up front, we talked about how Abraham is a great player to create space and to play for the team. But I can't really see too many goal-scoring threats in this Roma team. I had expectations for what Mourinho was going to do with Zaniolo, for example, a great player with great talent. He hasn't quite worked yet. He had a great game in the derby, but again, he didn't score or he didn't really create too much. He had some good games here and there. I don't think he has scored yet. So nope. He's another player I'm thinking is Mkhitaryan, which last season was by far the most important for Roma, the one that scored the most, I believe. And it was just a great player to create chances for others and you know, for other players to play around them. They are these three players. They can perform. They have to perform better for Roma. It's just not good enough, really, what they're creating. So, yeah, I don't really know what a way out for Roma could be. I think they're simply not a top four team at the moment. They will be good enough for top six, so Europa League, but they're not quite yet. If they play against teams like Inter, Milan, Napoli, I think they're going to struggle. With Napoli, they did pretty well to keep them at bay. But again, other than one chance where they hit the post with loads of bounces, I don't think they created too much. And again, Jose's got a lot of work to do if he wants them to do that step up and to go to the next level.
Vittorio, did we see signs of what Jose Mourinho seems to become after the first sort of 10 games of every season, which is he starts off as a charmer, you know, sits in front of the press, has them basically eating out of the palm of his hand. And then we start to see that prickly side of Mourinho, which I think has been a problem in recent years. Did we start to see that again off the back of that defeat in terms of his media work after the game?
Well, against Lazio in a derby, he didn't pretty much speak after the match, right? He said, blame the referee, blah, 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 etc. Against Juventus was pretty much the same thing. And against Milan, the same thing. He blamed the ref. But we can talk about the ref later. But we have to say that AC Milan dominated the match for at least 70 minutes. It was only Milan. And he's very good because he hid everything, all the problems, and blamed the ref. How long can this go further? Because, I mean, people are love Mourinho, but they're not stupid. They're going to say, hey, yeah, okay, the referee made a mistake, but how many saves did the Milan goalkeeper made against us? None. Why a striker never hit the target, never tried to score, etc.? Why Zaniolo, that is the best players we have, didn't score a goal in Serie A, and it's not the first three matches. We are in November and still didn't score. What's happening with Mkhitaryan? Why he was impressive last year and pretty much invisible this season? So there are a lot of question marks with Mourinho, and he can hide them all talking about blaming the ref, but I don't think he can take it any longer. He has to face the truth and say, hey, this team has problem. We are not good enough, I don't know, to play against big teams, or there's something I do wrong, and this is the reason why we don't beat this team. Blame the referee how long you want, but Milan deserve to win and play much better. And to be honest, you can blame the ref, but I thought that Veretout should have been sent off. I thought that Roma was lucky too with the ref. So I'm not sure that you can blame the ref for this defeat, honestly.
Just on that refereeing decision, and I'm assuming the one that Mourinho had the biggest issue with, I think it's fair to say, was the penalty award. I thought it was a penalty, Tommy. What was your view on it? He certainly makes contact with Ibra before the ball, doesn't he?
Yeah, if I had to decide, I probably would have given it. But it's one of those as it is a close call. With VAR, we've seen, you know, it's a bit of a controversial topic, really. Like if you look at you know, any play during the game with a slow motion camera, you will see contact everywhere. So yeah. Even, you know, if that happened in midfield, would have been given as a foul? Probably yes. So that means that it should probably be a penalty. It's a bit of a grey area to me. I'm not sure where I stand. Sometimes I see some penalties. There was one recently I saw. I think for Napoli, for Osimhen in the not the last game, but the one before when they won 3-0 against Bologna, the second one, it was a very soft one again, but there was contact. So again, if I had to decide in the Roma situation, I probably would have given it, but it's a very close one. But yeah, what we sort of said, it's not one of those things that you can hang on to that we lost because of that. I agree, it's a bit soft, and if I'd been a fan, I would have been angry as well. But I wouldn't be complaining we lost because of that, or you know, it was a huge factor in the game. Yeah, it changed a little bit, but there was other issues. That's what I mean.
Vittorio, go ahead, mate. Go on.
Sorry, there are too many soft penalties. So, you know, if you see the full Serie A this season, you see a lot of soft penalty given. This wasn't the first one, and it won't be the last one, which I think is wrong, because this soft penalty, I can understand that with VAR, as Tommy was saying, you can see hundreds of contacts in the penalty box, and you should give hundreds of penalty. I think the penalty has to be a little bit harder. The contact has to be harder than that. And I think Mourinho was blaming the ref because it happened pretty much the same thing in the Milan area with Pellegrini and Kier, I think, and they didn't give the penalty. I think this soft penalty they have to change. You cannot give this soft penalty. But if you start, then you have to give them all, right? Because Inter had a penalty against Lazio, and that was soft, and they gave them. So after that, I think you have to give them all. So this is the problem we have now with VAR. So I think it was a penalty, but then probably Roma should have gotten one with Pellegrini in the second half. But again, Veretout should have been sent off. There have been other fouls that I don't understand. So blame the referee. It's not the solution. It's, you're hiding your problems.
Just before we wrap up, Roma are in fourth place in the division, right? Which is where they would be aiming to finish come the end of the season if everything went well. I think, as Tommy said, if they finished in the top six, I think that would be a good season, or a relatively good season. They are where they are now. And I wouldn't be too concerned about Roma's results. But I think there are just other signs of Mourinho being Mourinho again. And first of all, it's that refereeing thing where we keep pointing to every single decision and using it to deflect away from the shortcomings of the team. But also, Vittorio, he's been talking recently about the pressure he's under from the press in Rome, and that it's making it not a comfortable place to work or manage. I think that's what he said. Is there just signs that the public opinion of him in Rome is, I'm not going to say turning, because as I say, the team are in a pretty decent position, but are people starting to say, oh yeah, that's Mourinho, isn't it? We kind of got charmed at the beginning and forgot all about that. Like he did at Spurs, like he did when he went to United. He does it everywhere. He kind of makes out he's reinvented himself. And then we see the same things happening again. Is he feeling under pressure? Is the Rome press being harsh on him, in your opinion? Because you're obviously there.
Well, Rome is a very difficult city to win. It's very complicated, because when you win, you're a hero, you're a legend. When you lose, then you're an idiot. So it's very difficult. But I think Mourinho created this issue, because last week he said there are four or five players who are not worthy to play in Serie B. And so Kumbulla, it's out. Borja Mayoral, last year was top scorer, or one of the top scorers of this team. He's not playing anymore. This is unbelievable. Villar, who was starting midfield last year, again, he's not even on the bench. So Roma already hasn't got that many options. If you add to this that Mourinho decided that these four or five players are not worthy to play for the team, it's going to be an issue. Let's not forget that Roma paid 20 million last year for Kumbulla, and now he's not even on the bench. So I think we are seeing Mourinho again, right? He's keep playing those 11 players, saying that he hasn't got any option, which is wrong. And the question mark is, now they're fourth, as you mentioned, but we're in November. You have to be fourth at the end of May. And if you play always the same 11 players, you won't make it, because in February, this team will be gone, done. And so what would you do in the next month or so?
Yeah, another pattern of the typical Mourinho journey is like, as you mentioned, is blaming his own players. I don't think a manager should do it. One of the funny comments he made, I think it was against Juventus, when they asked him, why did you play Karsdorp that was injured, that he wasn't really ready to play? It was like, well, my other options, what are they? Kumbulla and Calafiori. As in, what are you trying to do? Do you want me to play like a guy I found on the street? it's funny. Yeah.
And they signed Kumbulla just 1 year ago, 20 million euros. It's not that they got it cheap. He's young, 20 million euros. The team, the company invested on this player. And you just said, no, he's rubbish. He cannot play even in Serie B.
I mean, yeah, I'd rather play the ninja player than Kumbulla.
Yeah. Borja Mayoral, how many goals did he score last year? He didn't play a single minute this year. I mean, that's crazy. And no one's saying nothing. Well, now the fans are starting saying, hey, what the hell? Last year, Borja Mayoral was scoring. He was better than Zeko. And now he's the third option. And at the same time, you have to say, Abraham scored two goals this season.
Yep.
Could he be that much better than Borja Mayoral? Two goals.
Shomurodov as well was bought for another 15, 20 million, was it? Shomurodov. And he also is not really playing, not really performing. Yeah, there are lots of issues. After the first initial great moment spell, the great spell, he's not in a great position at the moment.
Let's not forget, Roma spent 90 million euros this summer. 90, much more than Lazio, etc. 90 million. And they're there. They're the same team of last year, pretty much. So, you know, they spent a lot of money. For what? For who? I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that develops. But I think, Tommy, you hit the nail on the head as well when you said it's the typical Mourinho journey. And I think all the points Vittorio made are brilliant as well. We'll see how that goes over the course of the season. We're going to leave it there. Brilliant episode. Really, really enjoyed it. Thanks to Vittorio. How can people keep up to date with your brilliant work via social media?
Well, you can follow me at Lazio Lounge, the English podcast about Lazio. So plenty of things to talk about, and you can join me there.
Brilliant stuff. Tommy, how can people keep up to date with you, mate?
So on Twitter, Tommy Mila. And now that I don't work for a club anymore, I can actually write more of my opinions.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Look forward to reading some of them. We'll be back very, very soon with another edition of Simply Serie A. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Spread the word. And until next time, take care. Goodbye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.